Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and we're going to kick off today's special broadcast looking back at the legacy of Captain Don from Captain Don's Habitat. You know, we touched on it last week. He passed away right before we went on the air, and, you know, that doesn't really do justice to what he has contributed to the dive industry over the years. And for those of you who don't know who Captain Don is, this might be very educational as well, and you know, it'll make you a little bit more of a well-rounded diver. That is what our goal is today on Scuba Radio. Whether we accomplish it, time will tell, but we'll give it our best shot. To help us kick it off, however, we have George Buckley on the line. And George, welcome to Scuba Radio. First off, how are you?
Good to be with you, Greg.
All right, so before we get into Captain Don's legacy and how you know all about him, give us your credentials, because you have some pretty good badges of honor in the dive industry, don't you? Come on, George.
Yes, indeed. I landed in Bonaire in the mid-70s, partly because of Steve Gould here at Harvard saying, be sure you study the land snails, the Catocolus of Bonaire. And they all thought I was some CIA down there, but I became director of the Marine Ecology Project there, and took over as president of the Accolade Foundation from Don, and I'm now assistant director of the Sustainability and Environmental Management Program here at Harvard University in the Extension School.
All right. Well, so he has quite the credentials for sure. But I would imagine your reflections of Captain Don, who was just basically a walking and living stereotype of a salty pirate in my eyes. I don't know. Is that how you saw him as well from your interactions with him over the years or what?
Captain Don was that and more. He could be a cantankerous Scot, but at the same time, he had more ideas per minute than any other man alive that I've ever met. He didn't always see them through to fruition or have an idea about how we're going to accomplish it, but the guy was an absolute wizard. And from dropping out of middle school to join the military, lying about his age, to starting a company and then getting bored and quitting it, and then, you know, getting the Valerie Queen and sailing the world and landing in Bonaire and getting marooned when it's sunk, and shortly after he arrived in 62, just an interesting fella. And he was this roustabout, but a brilliant one. And he had this crazy idea of creating a place where divers could sleep in between dives, and that became Aquaventure Habitat. In the early days, we had no boats, we had no dock, but we had tanks. We could jump off the cliffs, and it was perilous, but those that survived came back for more.
Yeah.
And pretty soon we were building docks and building boats, and I have the scars and the skin cancers to prove it. And but it was amazing. The first time we had a dock, we don't have to jump off the cliff. And then we built these boats and broke fingernails and toes and toenails getting in the water. But we were glad to do it.
Okay.
Because then we had a boat. We could go over to the island.
Nice. So, well, that gave cliff diving a whole new meaning, I guess, at the door. Maybe
indeed,
that's how it started.
Particularly with those black diadema sea urchins gathering there by the dozen per square meter at night.
Wow. Okay. Well, yeah, it's definitely not like that now. I mean, Captain Don's Habitat, I've been there. I mean, it's been actually 15 years plus since I've even been there, but it's so easy to get to and dive there in Bonaire. But that was basically started out of his necessity of stopping this cliff diving, I guess. I don't know.
Absolutely. Not only that, but he drives around in the island's garbage truck at night to go diving at different sites. But the magic of what he did there was to make the ocean accessible for people, even to the Maury Wheels, a handicapped scuba group here from Boston. He built a special a roll-in for them to be able to get to the water. And what he did along the way was to share everything he did with people, with those famous, some people would call them infamous, black and white slideshows, to the whole pirate shtick that he had.
Right.
But beyond that, he was the most generous guy in the world, whether it was Sylvia Earle, Jeannie Clark, myself, Dee Scar, Stan Waterman. He welcomed us and said, hey, you know, work with the guests a bit. You can dive here and stay here for free. And donated the land for us to build the first aquaculture lab next door. Just a phenomenal, forward-thinking guy. Before we had the Marine Park, Don banned scuba dive, spearfishing with scuba, because he knew we were wiping out the very fish we came to photograph.
Hmm.
It was he that helped to found CURO, the Council of Underwater Resort Operators, which became a major force in how resorts that have divers work together and help them to protect the sea. He gave up his leg virtually, broke it in three places, helping to put the first marine mooring for scuba boats in the Caribbean, in the water.
Hmm.
And now that's the standard.
Yeah, well, it's not the standard to go break your leg in three places when you're doing a mooring. But
when you built the first one out of an old oil can, a 55-gallon can, filled it with cement and rebar, and rolled it off a flat top, that kind of thing could happen.
Hmm, yeah, and, of course, yeah.
But he was just always ahead of things. You know, the moniker became that Bonaire was to coral reef conservation as Greenwich was to time, and it was absolutely right. During those humble years, he encouraged everybody to get wet and to dive around the clock. You know, one of my Harvard kids here said, why do we dive at midnight? I said, because there's nobody else in the water, and there's things that we don't usually see at noon.
Yeah.
And Don just was this magic guy that would keep everybody involved in little treasure hunts. If there wasn't a crisis, he'd create one. You know, the little fruit boat that we have, he'd fill it with rocks. We'd bump it out, and finally it sunk. Now we had that wreck down at the bottom at 135.
Very nice. All right, so you, what exactly are you doing or did with him in Bonaire to protect the reefs? So you got some project you guys have worked on for many years together, right?
We've had a long series of projects through Stenopera and the Bonaire Marine Park, and Jack Chalk, who passed away recently, was president of Stenopera for a long time. And for a while, we had a paper park. In other words, we had it on paper, but we weren't enforcing it. And Don helped bring the people together, Albert Romain, Jack Chalk, and others, that went out. And we brought in Roberto Henson as one of the first managers and helped to really formalize that. And now it's recognized as one of the top marine protected areas in the world. And certainly one of the first that was well-managed.
I think that was one of the first places I went to where they had a no-glove rule as well.
The first one to run a group with that, with no gloves. The people said, my God, the people will lose their fingers and fingernails. No, if we train them properly and
right.
give them the right instructions, they'll be okay. And they were. And so that went in. And it was we who banned those xylem sticks, who were great to put on your tank at night, but when they broke loose, every single turtle, every single dolphin we did an autopsy, we found one of those in its gut.
Mm.
And what they'd see is they'd think it was a squid bioluminescing at night and swallow it. And much as divers like to think they didn't come loose, most of them couldn't tie a knot that was going to survive in water,
right?
Particularly with nylon cord.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a first for me. I didn't realize that was one of the reasons or dolphins were having issues. But that makes sense. I understand that. I mean, what impressed me about that at the time about the gloves in Bonaire is, not that it was like over, you know, protection or anything like that. It was more like, wow, these guys really care about protecting the reef and their local habitat.
Not only that, we were the first island to put in, as my dear pal Billy Gleason said, a diver tax. And, Lord, they roasted us in hot oil over taxing divers to dive, and they'll never come back. But it wasn't. It was a nature fee, and people bought into it, as now everybody else is doing the same thing, that you pay a small fee that's good for a year that gives you the privilege and the right to join us in this great underwater adventure. That humble little beginning back then, it was $10, has grown to $25, but that's what funds the maintenance of the Bonaire Marine Park.
Got it. Now, in your eyes, Captain Don's legacy, is it just Bonaire, period? He's responsible for Bonaire as a dive destination, you think, or what?
It wasn't one of us. It was dozens of us all working together. And that collaboration, that forethought, that hard, diligent work together is what Don engendered. And then he'd stand back with his arms crossed and go, very proud to be the father of it all. You go through Klondike, one of the first things you see is Don's picture painted on a wall in downtown. When you go to the airport, you see this great memorial to him at the airport. He was a legend in his own time.
Well, excellent. Well, Ed, thank you so much for your thoughts on Captain Don. We do appreciate it. And that was very enlightening. I learned some stuff. Maybe some folks listening
to me. We're trying
to
carry on his work through the Accolade Foundation, giving out scholarships and small grants in his honor. That was his last command to me when he appointed me president of the foundation last year.
I have no doubt that the dive industry will rally the troops and support that effort as well. Thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, Greg.
More on the life of Captain Don next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explore Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures, and just maybe why Explore Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExploreVentures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExploreVentures.com. That's ExploreVentures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Deepwater Cay in the Bahamas has been a bone fishing paradise for over 50 years. However, what has been bringing world-class anglers and Hollywood stars to this private island paradise is also quite impressive underwater. So after a multi-million dollar renovation, Deepwater Cay now offers scuba diving to their long list of water sport activities. It's an all-inclusive out-island experience with unspoiled diving, easy access to the States, and exceptional food and accommodations. Treat yourself like the star you are at Deepwater Cay. Go to deepwaterkay.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba, 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 scuba.
Today on the big show, we are looking back at the legacy of Captain Don from Captain Don's Habitat of Bonaire. He passed away right before the show last week. And I've been talking to some folks that knew him and knew more about his contribution to the dive industry, much more than even I did. And he had an influence on me, for sure. But he's had an influence on a lot of big people in the dive industry, big players. One of them is on the phone with me right now, Peter Hughes. Yes, the man, the myth, the legend on Scuba Radio, not only live, but on a liveaboard boat as we speak. You're out in the middle of the Caribbean or something. Is that right, Peter? Come on. What's going on?
Greg, we're out here on the Aquacat. We're doing one of our annual reef land fish control studies with Lad Akins from Reef down in the Florida Keys. This is an annual event, and We're right in the middle of that when you caught me, and I'm doing the best I can to communicate you from afar.
Well, there you go. Peter Hughes multitasking today, or at least remembering his friends from the dive industry. I know you had a lot of interaction with Captain Don there in Bonaire over the years, or probably even before Bonaire, I'm guessing. Is that true or what?
No. It was in Bonaire. I first had the privilege of meeting the good captain and December of 1975.
I'm not sure. Isn't that where you started as well, or no?
That was the third place. I was first off in Tobago back in the late 60s, and from there went to Roatan in the very early 70s, or the mid-70s with Anthony Ski Resort, and then got married and moved to Bonaire, and that's when I had the privilege of meeting the good captain.
Now, did he have a major influence on you, or was that first interaction kind of like, who the hell is this guy kind of thing, or what? Because he's quite a character. I mean, I met him several times later in life, and he was, you know, he was a walking pirate. He was the real deal. You know, when I'd see him at the DEMA show, I was always impressed just with his presentation and how he handled himself walking down the aisles of some of these shows.
Well, all that time back, he was no different than he was now, except his uniform at work tended to be a pair of Speedos and a red scarf around his neck that he said he used to use to judge which depth he was at by the color of the scarf. So if you saw Captain Don, he had an O-ring in his ear, a red scarf around his neck, a pair of Speedos, a cowboy boots, and that was his uniform of the day. Quite a character from way back then.
Yes, that's a mental picture that I think will stick with a lot of folks, for sure.
It's kind of a horrible picture, but it sure is a fun picture, and it's one I'll never forget.
Yes, I don't doubt it. So tell me, do you have a little anecdote that you could share about Captain Don on his contribution to the dive industry from your perspective? What do you think, Peter?
Well, I think the greatest contribution that Captain Don made to the dive industry, and this is my story, and I'm going to stick to it until somebody can give me evidence to the contrary.
Okay.
And I happen to believe that the good captain was the first man in the world to ever place a permanent mooring on a reef for the purpose of preventing anchor damage. Now, I tell you this story with a little bit of self-interest in mind, because if what I'm telling you is true, and Captain Don was indeed the first man to do that, that means I'm the second man in the world to ever do that.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you why that is, Greg, because as I told you, I arrived in Bonaire in December of 1975, and I met Don shortly after that. Well, word had come down the pipe to me that Don had 12 permanent moorings out on the reefs, mostly around Klein Bonaire, because he was diving the shore sites of Bonaire by truck, because it was much cheaper to dive by truck than it was to dive by boat. So I figured, well, this is a no-brainer. He's got the dive sites clearly marked, and I have a dive boat. I'll just go out there and park on those moorings. Well, the word came back down to me that those were my goddamn moorings from Captain Don, and I better stay off of them. But, yeah, I'm thinking, well, now what the hell am I going to do about this? So I went to bed that night. I was pretty depressed. Spoke to my wife about it, thought about it, slept on it, and got up the next day, and I had a brainwave. So I went up to see Captain Don, and I said, Captain Don, here's the deal. You've got 12 moorings on Bonaire, and you don't want me to use them because they're your moorings. I said, but here's the deal. When you're out there diving with your guests, and all of a sudden you hear a boat pull up on top of you, and you see an anchor come flying down into your reef, as you call it, and start destroying the coral, that's going to be because you won't let me use your mooring, you son of a bitch, so this is your problem. I could see the good captain just pumping up like a big old Rottweiler about to bite my head off. And then I said, but, Captain Don, there's always a but. And he's looking at me and says, what you got in mind, boy? And I said, well, Captain Don, how about if you let me use your 12 permanent moorings, and I will, over the next 4 weeks, put in 12 more permanent moorings. And I will put them in wherever you tell me to put them. And after that, we'll have 24 permanent moorings, 12 of which you will maintain, and 12 of which I will maintain, but all 24 of which we will share. He kind of turned a circle in his cowboy boots and his red scarf and his Speedos, stuck his hand out, and says, I think we're going to be friends and get along just fine on this island.
There you go.
From that day on, that Greg, I honestly believe, makes him the first man in the world I've ever used a permanent mooring. I don't know when he did it before I showed up, but they were there when I showed up in 1975. And Don and I then continued to work together, putting in a system of moorings that we maintained and paid for privately and between us, having meetings in his bar many a night until dawn. That's the way we would do it, how we would do it. And I think if you go there today, you will still see some of those twin 55-gallon oil drums that we filled up and joined with rebar as our boats got bigger and we needed heavier moorings. And that was the start of what is today one of the most successful marine parks in the world today.
That's a great story. I love it. And that is the kind of guy I pictured Captain Don being, knowing that he was hanging with the likes of you. And I've heard some more stories about you that we'll have to get into someday as well, Peter. But I appreciate you sharing. That is great stuff. And obviously, he'll be missed. I'm sure you feel the same, right?
I cannot tell you, when the word came to me from one of the gents, Craig Burns, who's also been in the industry for 100 years, Craig sent me a message the other day to tell me that Captain Don had passed today. And that was one of the sorriest days of my life. I just couldn't accomplish anything else the rest of the day because Don was a competitor. He was a colleague. He was a very dear friend. I remember he'd come by and said, Pete, let's go on vacation. And to go on vacation with Don was going to this ratty-ass movie house in Bonaire where we could buy beer and we'd have what Don referred to as a two-hour vacation. The guy was a jewel, an enigma, a jewel, and one of the finest men this industry has ever known.
Well, there you go. Well, Peter, enjoy your time out there on the water, and we'll plan on syncing up there at the Long Beach Dive Show next weekend, right? We'll see you out there?
Absolutely. I'm going to get off the boat a day early, and I'll be out there Friday night. Look forward to seeing you, Greg, as always.
As always, indeed. All right, Peter, thanks for checking in and sharing your thoughts on Captain Don. We appreciate it.
Well, may you rest in peace. Thanks, Greg. I'll talk to you later.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, Peter Hughes, he's a legend in the dive industry. And, you know, I love talking to Peter. I could talk to him for days. He could fill up God knows how many shows. He's kind of like Neil Watson with an accent. And you've heard Neil many times on the show before and all the crazy stories. Peter is just as colorful. And that whole, you know, group of divers, those pioneers from Neil to Peter Hughes to, you know, folks like Captain Don, you know, that's what has really made this industry very, very entertaining to cover from my perspective over the years. And hopefully you're picking up some of that with some of these stories that we're sharing on the air today. Now, momentarily, we're going to connect via Skype with Captain Don's Habitat. Anne Marie's a marketing manager down there. We're going to connect with them and find out what's going on now that, you know, Captain Don has passed and how they're handling the news. But really, you know, try to paint a picture of what is there for you to experience now as a scuba diver. And Bonaire's always been, you know, one of the premier dive destinations in the world. And we'll get a firsthand report of what's going on and maybe some of the festivities that they're planning or ways to remember Captain Don and his legacy there on the island of Bonaire. So we'll get to that momentarily. But a couple things I want to bring you up to speed on. This weekend is the Scuba Show in Long Beach, California. Now, we are there doing our thing with the mermaids. Tiffany is on display. We have the Scuba Cowboy performing live. And, of course, we got our giveaways and that kind of thing. We're actually recording a show this weekend in Long Beach, which will air next Saturday. So make sure you tune in and catch all the festivities. Our friends, you know, it could be Bob Evans from Force Vince. And I'm sure there might be a few other people that have a few comments to share about Captain Don from Bonaire. But it'll be a good show. Don't miss it. And also, don't don't forget, now is the time to lock in your spot for the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, October 4th through the 11th. We're doing the Save Us St. Kitts itinerary with our friends from Explore Adventures once again. And Scuba Pro is on board to do another demo week with us. Last time, people won some big prizes, including one diver going home with a $1,000 regulator just for joining us for the week. Putting up with our shenanigans of doing a show on a liveaboard for a week in Save Us St. Kitts and Nevis. So get on the phone and call Explore Ventures and book it today. 1-800-322-3577. October 4th is the next Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Scuba Radio Divers Consumer Tip Number 88. Although the odds are against you in finding buried treasure on your next dive, there is a better than average chance you will see a sunken chest belonging to a weathered old sea hag giving you the stink eye from across the dive boat.
It's terrible! She has beautiful eyes and her hair smells like cinnamon!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio today, we have Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. What are you working on over there, Nick?
Just a list of things I'll need when I go diving tomorrow.
Ah, the old checklist. Gear, first aid kit, oxygen unit.
Nope, different list.
Oh, so you're working on dive planning, making sure your gear is ready, having an emergency plan.
Nope. Different list. All of that is important to be sure, but do you realize how many non-diving elements there are that become essential to a good day of diving?
Not really. Can't say I ever gave it much thought, but now that you mention it, I guess there are. I mean, water is the first one that popped into my mind, because if you get dehydrated, we all know that can ruin a good day.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Water's an excellent example.
Yep, that's a good one. I know they don't call me Lobster Boy for nothing, and it sucks when it happens. Few things are more uncomfortable than a wetsuit on a sunburn.
Ooh, you said it. Not to mention the safety element. The discomfort of a wetsuit-coated sunburn can keep you distracted, which is not a good way to dive safe.
Sunscreen can make you a safer diver. Who knew? So along those lines, I'd have to add a hat or visor to the list of non-dive stuff that can contribute to dive safety.
Hats and visors help to prevent both sunburn and other heat-related illnesses, so yes. But add t-shirts to the list as well.
How about a change of dry clothes in general?
That's a good one, especially if it's chilly out of the water. You'll want to make sure you stay warm between dives.
No hypothermia here.
Excellent. I guess you should include a towel with that, since it can also double as a wrap if you don't want to use it to dry off.
Towel, check. All right, you know, going back to the water and hydration, I think we need snacks too.
Good plan. Snacks help to keep you fueled and energized, which helps you from becoming overtired in the water. Definitely a contributor to safety.
I've got one more.
What's that?
You should have your Dan card.
And with that, you are number one on my list.
Of course. As careful as divers are about their dive planning and preparation, it's important to remember the non-diving elements that contribute to a safe and happy day. So take an extra minute to pack that hat and apply that sunscreen. They could be the difference between a problem avoided and a problem to solve. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan Good Diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we have hooked up on Skype with Bonaire, and on the line I have Anne-Marie. She's the marketing manager for Captain Don's Habitat. Anne-Marie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today on Scuba Radio. We do appreciate it. And, well, how are you? How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Greg. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yes, no worries. I know it's been a tough time for folks on the island because everybody knew Captain Don there. I guess the service was, what, last week? Is that the deal?
Yeah, he passed away last Wednesday, and on Friday we had a service already. Actually, he got reconnected with his leg at that moment because that was buried already a couple of years ago. So now he is in one piece again.
Yes, understood. All right. Well, I wanted to kind of bring you on the show today. I mean, we've talked to Peter Hughes and George Buckley. They've shared some really nice stories of what Captain Don has, you know, what he's done for the industry over the years and the character that he was. But I kind of wanted to paint a picture for people listening today of what is there now. What can they do to come out to Bonaire and actually see what he's contributed to diving in general there in Bonaire, especially for people that haven't been? I mean, are you guys fully operational and diving's perfect right now, or what do you got going on down there at Captain Don's Habitat in Bonaire?
Well, actually, in honor of the captain, we are fully operating. He would never like it when we stop business because he passes away. So what we do is just continue the diving. The marine park is maintaining all the buoys which Captain Don started years and years ago. And we still like to do everything to keep the divers happy and give them a really nice experience here in Bonaire.
I have no doubt about it. You know, I haven't been to Bonaire in many, many years, but yes. What I remember, and I'm sure it hasn't changed, is that the shore diving, or just like right off the dock there, you just walk down those cement steps right into some just amazing diving right off the front of the resort. Am I right?
You're right. It still is. I mean, the moment you step from the dock, you're there in between the coral and the fish, and it's an amazing place for diving. And it's a beautiful place for night diving as well.
Now, I know it's relatively fresh, and you probably haven't had all the plans in place just yet, but has there been any talk of doing some kind of memorial plaque or a wreck or something to honor Captain Don there at Habitat, or what?
Well, there's already a reef named after the captain, although considering the captain, we're not allowed to call them reefs. We had to call them ocean windows or doors to the sea. So that's already done. And the last Saturday of June, we're going to have a big celebration of his life here in Bonaire. And actually what we are looking for as well is stories about the captain. I mean, the captain, he was a big storyteller, but we know for sure there are many, many people out there who have a nice, great story about the captain as well. So when they can send it to you or to me, that would be really helpful. We also know there are millions of pictures of the captain out there, and that would be really help to refresh the memories of the people who attend the memorial. So,
well, I understand, and I would imagine they could submit those through Captain Don's Habitat's website, right?
They can, or the Facebook site.
Yeah, so just Google that. Well, or what is the web address for Habitat? Is it Habitat Bonaire, or what is it?
Correct, habitatbonaire.com.
There you go. So you can go there if you have a story about Captain Don or a unique picture, which God knows there's probably a lot of pictures that people have that you may not want to make public. You hear what I'm saying, Anne-Marie?
Well, I got a few already. So we have to be careful with it.
Yes, exactly. You know, he was a colorful character. That's how I knew him. You know, I didn't have any good picture photo proof in that regard, but I heard of him, and I can imagine knowing the way he operated at some of the dive shows. There were some colorful captions and you know, pictures and things of the famous captain. Now, what do you remember about him working with him all over the years? What can you share with us today?
Yeah, well, actually, I officially met him in 2002 when I started my dive shop at Curaçao, where also was a resort, Captain Don. And the thing he told me the first day, he said, I'd like to tell you a couple of things. First of all, you need to read the book, Don't Stop the Carnival, from Herman Routes. And you know, your life is going to be not as good as his life. Well, I have to agree, he was right.
Yeah, and that was probably a good thing for your health and liver, yeah. I'm assuming, right?
Oh, yes, definitely.
We learned from those pioneers what not to do, but we love hearing the stories kind of thing. That's kind of how I look at it, and I guess you fall into that category.
Yes, you're completely right. And another thing, and that's really the way we still live, work on the dive shop, and which I used to as well. He told me, a reef is like a tool for a carpenter. You have to take care of it. And if you don't take care of it, you're not going to make business out of it. And I think that's a really important message for all the divers, dive managers. We really have to take care of the reef.
Yeah, he seemed to have had that instilled in, you know, into him from the very, very beginning of his dive offer. Well, from what I heard from George and even what Peter mentioned, creating the first moorings probably in the world, for as far as Peter knew.
Yes, he did. He was a spearfisher when he started, and then he had his first spearfish contest, and he looked at all the fish laying on the dock, and he said, "No, we're going to change this." So from that moment on, he threw out his spear, and he was trying to protect the reefs, and until today, he is the example for the rest of the world.
Yeah, and to this day, you could go to Captain Don's habitat in Bonaire and see, well, just what happens when you do something like that from the very beginning. Because to this day, Bonaire is known for some of the most pristine diving in the world, best shore diving, great visibility, but just the marine life has been protected for generations to come. And you guys have, I guess that's really part of his major legacy, wouldn't you think?
Oh, yes, I agree completely. And not only in Bonaire, but now also you see in a lot of other dive destinations, they do have a mooring project. Without a captain, the diving wouldn't be as good nowadays as it is all around the world.
Well, exactly. And you know, that says a lot about how he lived his life. He had a hell of a lot of fun, obviously, but he did a lot to protect the reefs, or these windows to the ocean world for all of us to enjoy. And you got to have, you got to give him a little tip of the fin to that for sure.
Yes.
All right. Well, Anne-Marie, thank you so much. Appreciate your thoughts on Captain Don. We'll have to come down there and see you in Bonaire sometime. Does that sound like a plan?
Oh, that sounds like a great plan, Greg. And please bring your mermaids with you. We love to see them here.
It's always about the mermaids, but yes.
I know, but I also like to see you, my dear. You know that.
Yes. Scuba
Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook. The evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Prepare to rig for dive!
Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. Meetings I never attend. sweet as blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
All right, we've been talking a lot about Captain Don from Captain Don's Habitat in Bonaire today. He passed a couple weeks ago, and it's been nice, very entertaining to me. Hopefully you're enjoying it as well as we reflect on his legacy for the dive industry. But we go from one captain to another now, from Captain Don to Captain Slate down there now in Tavernier at his new digs. Captain Slate, how are you, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing okay. Yeah, well, Miss Captain Don, I want to say it was 80 or 81. I was in Bonaire the first time and dove with Captain Don one day and dove with Bruce Bowker on another day and Peter Hughes the next day, dove with all the guys down there. Then it was kind of like just getting started as a big dive destination. It was wonderful. And Captain Don, really, he'd been established already and had already done a lot to get it established as a park and protected the reef and just done a lot. He was really the name brand down there then, and just what a great guy, another icon.
Yes, no doubt he was an icon and quite a character. But, you know, luckily for us here at Scuba Radio, there's plenty of characters in the dive industry, and one of them is you, Captain Slate. So there's plenty of people to continue the character legacy that Captain Don paved the way for many of you unique folks, which that is a compliment. Okay, so please take it that way.
I do, and I thank you. Yeah, there are some characters, and I hope we create more as we go along. I'm trying to get Hunter Slate as a character. He's still a little young, but we're working on him. He's now taking up avid boating now. I got him a boat, so he's ready to drive these. So let's hope that happens real soon.
Well, it's in his blood, so God help him. You know, that's all I got to say. Yeah. Now, you're out on the water today, right? Are you taking divers out from the new digs there in Tavernier or what?
Yes, sir. We're sitting out on the reef we call Pleasure Reef. It's one of our feeding sites, just a great, big, giant moray lives out here. We named her Leslie, real pretty eel, and there's actually three of them out here, and this one's really big and pretty. And we also have a site up the reef on a reef called Davis that we play with. And of course, we're out here today sitting on Pleasure, and it's really a pleasure. It's wind's finally laying down a little bit. It's still 1 to 3s out here, but everybody's in the water, seems to be having fun, and the water's very clear. It's really nice.
Yeah.
We're just enjoying the heck out of it.
Well, June is boating month, so I think that lends itself to diving month as well, and going down to Tavernier might be a good choice. Now, you mentioned your resident moray, Leslie. Now, I've been getting reports up here in Orlando, where we're based out of, that this great white named Catherine has been circulating down there through the Keys. Have you been getting those reports as well? And does that make you does that make you a little nervous when you're doing your creature feature?
Well, actually, I would love to turn around and see her. It would be so nice. And I'll tell you, just in the last couple of days, I went online this morning and followed her trail, and she's already down around turned the corner at Key West. So she came down around along the Keys reef line. So we've seen them, and it's funny, in the last 4 years, I want to say, right down from us, one of the sites we dive a lot is the Eagle. We had an actual video, and it could have been, I don't know if it's Catherine, but it was definitely a great white shark. So
yeah.
That one went viral. I wasn't lucky enough to be in the water and see her, but I'm hoping she'll come up. That would be a memorable critter feed, and I would hope Fraser would be there with a video.
Yes. Well, no doubt. That would be worth some big money. But yeah, I mean, are you finding, I have been getting reports from some people that have been trying to track this great white and seeing if they could head it off for a dive and run into the chance greeting. But you're saying you just saw the reports as well that she had cruised through the area. Nobody there locally actually saw a great white as far as you're aware of. Is that the case?
No, that's the case. And I'll tell you, though, everybody, and at least divers wise, that we get in the store tracking her, and it's so funny that they got a tracker on her, because it's a big talk down here in the Keys. Everybody comes in the shop going, have you seen Catherine?
Yeah.
And they're really excited about it. Now, I don't know how many would be excited if she showed up and smiled at them like Bruce does in that movie, but we'll
right.
see.
Yeah, fish are not food, or divers are not food. You got to make that adjustment in the script for these divers. It is interesting that you do get that kind of reaction from divers, but of course, people that don't dive hear this and they think, "What are these divers insane?" Well, yeah, maybe a little, but we go out of our way to see these critters, just like we go see Captain Slade on his creature feature and go down and see him play around with some of the local residents that he's gotten to know better than most dive masters. You moved a little further south from Key Largo and now have your new place there. What's the mile marker there in Tavernier?
It's 90.7, and we're in a conglomeration or a strip mall shopping center right on Tavernier Creek, and it's gorgeous. So a friend of ours rebuilt a bunch of buildings, and we've got 12 stores here next to a nice motel, Creekside Inn. It's been there a long time, and it's been all renovated. Two nice restaurants. We're all within walking distance on the ocean side of the bridge, and it's just a wonderful place. We just hooked up a big paddleboard shop. We got two cafes right on the property. We got a whole bunch of curio shops and stores, and I mean, it's just unbelievable. Too much to mention, but it's really a wonderful little shopping area called Casamar Village.
All right, well, it sounds like a great place for a scuba radio broadcast to me.
I think you need to be here, by golly. It was the first one you did in Key Largo. Now you need to do this one here.
That's
how many
right.
years? 12, 15 years?
17, but who's counting?
17. God, I can't believe it.
CaptainSlate.com. Go there and book a trip. You won't regret it. All right, more coming up in hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.